Okay, we're going back to finish up what we were doing in the second version of the Mesillas Yesharim. He's explaining what the purpose of creation was, specifically the purpose of creation of man. Now, in the Mesillas Yesharim itself, in the regular Mesillas Yesharim, he only presents what the purpose of creation was. He doesn't present what the other possibilities were and why they're not possibilities. In the Kuah, the other version, he has also what people think the purpose was and why it's not like that. And we are in the middle of discussing that. Now he says that Lamaisa, if the whole purpose of a person was to enjoy this world, the whole purpose was for the sake of this world, and a person was created to recognize the goodness of the Rabbanu Shalom in this world, then really it doesn't work, because how many people really enjoy this world? So he says, you could ask on that, that maybe the original plan was that people should enjoy, and they should be in Gan Eden or whatever, and people sinned, and that's why they lost out on that. And l'chora, even if you say the whole purpose is for the sake of Olam Haba, it also was thwarted because Adam HaRishon sinned. So whatever you say, things weren't the way the Rabbanu Shalom planned them to begin with, so why can't you say that maybe the whole purpose was for the sake of this world, and the Rabbanu Shalom had a plan, and it didn't work out? So that's what he's referring to now. He says, Minakusha hazos lo nonus. So I'm not going to run away and evade your question. It's a good question. Right? Ki al kol panai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara Adam HaRishon l'cheshiyizke v'yisanik betuv amiti v'hu kilkol maisa v'niyah lehepech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goal Yisrael v'avim la'aretz sheyizke v'hayah lehepech. Right? L'maisa, we find that this is the question, right, that the Rabbanu Shem had a plan. He wanted to bring take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, bring him to Eretz Yisrael, which he did, and then they sinned, and they got thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. So the Rabbanu Shem had good intentions, and that the people should enjoy, perhaps, this world, and didn't work out. Just as much as the Rabbanu Shem had great intentions of people being Zocha Tolam Haba, and he gave them the chance to earn it here, and not always does it work out. People sin. So why is there any difference? Why can't you say that the purpose of creation is for the sake of this world, like people make the mistake to think, and the fact that doesn't work out is not the Rabbanu Shalom's fault. That's because he gave us free choice, and just doesn't work out. There's a right. He meant it for the good, and people have free choice, and it doesn't work out. So now he answers. He does going to answer. Kshani omer dati bebriya sa'adam os tira shemutzal ani min akush yazos. He says, I'm not going to answer you now, but when I explain to you what the real purpose of creation is, then I'll explain to you why this question is not a question. But it is a question if you think that everything was created for the sake of this world. The Afgam Zos, Lahashkit Rayonecho Ashivcha Bekitzer Milin. But just to make you feel good, right, again, this is a vikuach between a chacham and a chassid. So just to make you feel good, I'll give you a short answer now, but the real answer is going to come later, and we will discuss the answer when we go back to the Mesillas Yesharim and say what he says the purpose of creation is. We will say what he says here as what the answer to that question is in length. But now he says in a short way, this is sufficient to quiet your curiosity for the time being, and until I negate what people think wrongly is the purpose of creation, and then when I get to what the real purpose is, I'll explain why this question isn't a question on that. So the answer, the difference between saying that the purpose of creation is for this world and it didn't work out, or the purpose of the creation is for the next world and it didn't work out. What's the difference between them? Hine afa pishi is arich zman hagos atachlisahu lo nemer shenia lehepach kiven shesof sof yagia. If you say that the purpose was olam haba, now it could have happened immediately with Adam HaRishon and Chava in Gan Eden. They could have reached that purpose right away at the beginning of creation. And because they sinned, it was delayed or lengthened to a whole period of history of thousands of years, right? That doesn't change the original plan. But if we say the whole purpose of creation is this world, ubaolam hazeh ein hatachlis hazeh miskayim, and the purpose was changed. In other words, it never was fulfilled because people sinned. Hinei hakavonim is batelis v'lo yoil lo mashiach v'olam haba. Then it's not going to help what's going to be later because the whole tachlis changed. In other words, it never was fulfilled. If you say that the tachlis is for olam haba and it was delayed because of Adam's sin, it's still going to be at some point. What happened, olam haba makes up for what the person didn't get in olam hazeh if the whole purpose was olam hazeh. It's a two different worlds. But if you say the purpose was for olam haba and it just didn't happen immediately, it's going to have to happen later, same purpose, just delayed, that's not a problem. And you said, okay, that should satisfy your curiosity for now. And when we get to explaining what the real purpose of creation is, I'll explain to you why the question is really no question. So this can't be the purpose of creation, because if it is, it's not fulfilled. And God didn't make a mistake and intended something and then didn't work out at all, and then there's no more purpose. That can't be. Right? I'll give you another question that makes this opinion or this idea, philosophy impossible. Is it possible that man was given such importance and his whole purpose is just to have pleasure from the things that were created under him? Animals, plants, and so on? And for that he's so important? Right, now we're going on people who believe in the Torah and believe in Chazal, right? Just that they made a mistake to think from various places in Chazal that seem to say that this could be the purpose of creation. We're not talking about people who don't believe in anything and say that the world Stam was created, that people should enjoy this world. We're talking about a philosophy that could be al-pi Torah sources, and he's showing that it can't be. Right. Otherwise, what he's saying here doesn't make any sense. Who said that a man is greater than the Malachi Asharis? Chazal said. If you don't believe in Chazal, then it's no question. So about people do believe in the Torah, do believe in Chazal, just made a mistake in quoting the sources or understanding the sources and thinking that this is what could be. So we have surely Chazals that say that Tzadikim are greater than Malachi Asharis. Human beings are greater even than the Malachi. Kasher Harunu Chazal, Gidolim Tzadikim, Yosrim Malachi Asharis. Right? Mitnei Ze, Yaakovish Baruch Hu Gozer Gzeira V'Tzadik Mevatlach. The Rabban Shalom gave the power to a Tzadik to negate and go against his Gzeiras. The Rabban Shalom makes a Gzeira, Tzadik can, with his Tfilas, can be Mevatlach, the Gzeiras that the Rabban Shalom wants. O Mitnei Ze, Ho Yitzrichim Kol Kach Dikduke Nitzvahs, Utnai Avoda, Beyond that, what do people say? Why do we have mitzvahs? We have mitzvahs to keep us in line so we don't kill the world, distort it, and end up not enjoying what we're supposed to enjoy from the world. If that's the case, do we need so many mitzvahs? And so much dikdukim in the mitzvahs? So many fine details? If the whole purpose is just to make sure that we have a functioning society and we don't do things that lead us to not enjoy the world properly, then we should have basically simple, general kinds of mitzvahs. They shouldn't have to be so detailed in so many of them. Because the purpose, if the whole purpose is only to make sure that this world can be enjoyed properly, you surely don't need the kinds of detailed mitzvahs that we have. If he would have had some mitzvahs just to create some kind of discipline, right? People are disciplined. also, and some nitzes that we remember that we serve the Rabbanu Shalom, so that we recognize the fact that he gave us all this good, and that's why we put in the world, to recognize the good that God wanted to create in the world, for whatever reason he had of creating the good, but he wants somebody to recognize it. So we have to recognize God, and we have to recognize the good, and we have to make sure that we don't get out of line. So the mitzvah should have been very simple, very general kinds of things. But that was the whole purpose. Again, the purpose was, according to this mistaken ideology, God wanted to create all these tremendously good things for some purpose that's beyond our understanding. Okay? There's a reason why he created such a beautiful universe, and it has nothing to do necessarily with man per se. But once the Rabbanu Shalom created this beautiful universe to benefit whatever it has to benefit, he wanted there to be a Bria that appreciated it, that could appreciate the good that he made in this world. And the good has to be good. So you need mitzvahs. You need some kind of seder olam. You need a society that has some kind of discipline. So he says, if that would be the case, why in the world do we need so many mitzvahs and so much details in the mitzvahs, if that's the only purpose for it? Iyuv, when he suffered so much, questioned the purpose of this whole world. And he said, Allah nidav tarot, v'tosem besad raglo, v'tishmar kolor chosai, al shroshe raglai techake, right, meaning that, what's the purpose of all of this, that every little thing that I do or whatever has to be calculated and whatever, for what? So Iyuv himself questioned, right, if the whole purpose of the world is to enjoy, and he wasn't enjoying himself too much, right, then what's the purpose of all this dikduk in what goes on in the world? According to this also, why do you need such a high neshama, right, if the whole purpose is for this world? If you believe in Chazal, we know that the neshama is something that is chelek alo kamimah. It's the closest thing to God. What do you need a neshama like that to be able to enjoy the physical world? What does neshama have to do with this world? It doesn't enjoy this world at all, the neshama. The body enjoys this world. So if the whole purpose is enjoying and appreciating this world, what do you need a neshama for? Just create a man with a body that can enjoy the physical things in the world. The nefesh will never be happy with what's in this world. In other words, the spiritual side of man does not really enjoy this world. And the Medrash gives a marshal. Marshal amadover dome, the ironi shenosa bas malachim, a peasant married a princess. Im yofi lo kol ma sheva olam, einim chashuvim lo klal. If the peasant will bring the princess, whatever in the world he thinks is important, she's not going to be impressed, because she's used to much finer things than he can appreciate. Lama shehi bas melech, since she's a bas melech, she's a princess, she's used to things of a much finer, refined nature. So anything the peasant could bring her, thinking that these are the things that he enjoys, she's not going to enjoy them. Kacha nefesh, so too the neshama. Ilu heveis la kol madoni olam. If the body brings the neshama all the things that it enjoys, einom klumla. The neshama gets no pleasure from them because it's so refined and so exalted above the physical, material world, doesn't get pleasure from any of these things. In fact, they say that that's why there's a mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur. Right, because on Yom Kippur we afflict our bodies by not eating, and on Erev Yom Kippur you afflict your soul by eating. Because what afflicts the soul is the opposite of what afflicts the body, and in order to make the affliction complete, since when a person sins, he uses his body and his soul. So if you'd only afflict one of them, you'd only be afflicting one of the partners in the chait. So in order to afflict both of them, Erev Yom Kippur, you afflict the soul by eating, and Yom Kippur, you afflict the body by not eating. So eating, all the physical pleasures of the world are an affliction to the neshama, according to this.
So the neshama does have some type of enjoyment that you have to afflict it on Erev Yom Kippur.
But?
The neshama does have some enjoyment.
What do you mean?
You have to afflict on Erev Yom Kippur.
And why does it...
Erev Yom Kippur, what title does the neshama have to the aveira that you did?
No. That's a question of enjoyment. And in Shama, as a seichel, people are chote with two parts. Their body carries it out, and the body gets the pleasure, but the neshama is a gorein because of the seichel the person has.
Well, why would eating then be actually an affliction to the neshama?
That's what he says. He says that physical things, right, are something that the neshama detests. It's what's it called? It's beneath it, right? It's like if somebody, what's it called, is used to gourmet food, okay? That's what he's used to. He's very, very refined. You give him a salami, it's going to give him a stomachache.
Explains what, as I'll say, the person says that you're an arrogant person,
like you said. Right. Okay, there's a million other reasons, too. But right, there's one idea I saw that's the idea. But like I said, something very, that's what the marshal, right?
Yeah, but that's not true anymore, because now that it's a mitzvah to fast on Erev Yom Kippur, it's already not an affliction to the neshama, something good for the neshama.
Yes and no, it's a good question, but maybe not.
It's like any other Swiss mitzvah.
No, but let's say there'll be a mitzvah to eat coal.
No, if there's a mitzvah to eat Shabbos and Yom Kippur.
Yeah, so that, what?
There's a mitzvah to eat any Swiss mitzvah.
Yeah, but it could still be that there's a mitzvah for the body to eat that and to enjoy it, and the neshama should suffer through it. Right? Hey, the question is a good question, right? I'm not saying that doesn't say anywhere. It's a reason that's given, but it fits with this idea. But your question is a good question. But the answer is good enough to push you off. Yeah? What?
Can the neshama be made happy, like the
Gushim? Yeah, sure. Neshama is happy with learning Torah. Neshama is happy with doing spiritual things. Right? And the body is happy with physical things. But the physical things to the neshama are a bother. And spiritual things to the body are a bother.
So eating on Shabbos, even though it's a physical thing, wouldn't be bad for the neshama because that's a mitzvah. So the
and
mitzvah,
that's what the Rav said.
No, but the mitzvah... The neshama is gaining out of the mitzvah part of it, not the fact that you're eating.
Yeah, that's what I told him. Hazarding over. Excellent. You're listening good. You feel your neshama? I don't know. Do you feel your neshama?
I don't know.
So, don't ask private questions. Ask a better question. Can a person feel his neshama? That's a good question. Yeah, a person can feel your neshama, right? If you're very, very sensitive to it, and you take it into consideration all the time. If you ignore your neshama completely and pretend it's not there, then it's very possible you'll never feel your neshama. And never feel anything. And can a person feel happiness, ruchnius happiness? Yeah, if you condition yourself to it and you think about it or whatever. If you don't and you ignore it, then you'll never feel any simcha. And right, look, take two people, right, or even three people. Let's take three different people. One person who was not from, right, and he's just becoming a Baal Tshuva and he has his first Shabbos where he can't smoke and he can't drive and he's in the house and he doesn't understand what's going on, right? And he feels miserable. So the ruchnius of Shabbos to him is a bother. Why? Because he's not sensitive to his neshama. He has no idea what's going on. And the Mela Shabbos is a really prohibitive day. Right? It's a tsar. Because basically he's on the level of body, and for the body, Shabbos is really not fun. Then take another person who's been Shomer Shabbos for a long time. Right? He's used to it, so it's not a bother to him. But to say that he really enjoys Shabbos and he really feels the Kedushas HaShabbos, no, because he never really worked on it or whatever. But Shabbos is not, you know, a tsar. right? For him, it's not, he doesn't suffer on Shabbos, right? Because he's used to it. So he's in between. Then take a person who's on a much higher madrega, who's really prepared himself for what Shabbos is, understands what it is, and takes advantage of everything of what Shabbos is. That person enjoys Shabbos tremendously, right? Not because it's any less of a suffering to his body than the first guy. But he's not into that. He has the ruchniyistic of pleasure that he's sensitive to, which the other person doesn't even know about. So, yeah, can you feel your neshama? Yeah. But it's not something that happens just automatically. It's something that you have to work on. V'chein omru chazal, al kor chachata notzer, the al kor chachata nolad, ki ein ha-neshama heves olam hazeh a-adarabah mo'eses bo. That's what it says. The person is created against his will. Doesn't want to come into this world. Because at the point that he's notzer, that he's formed, right, he's a neshama that's entering a physical body. And the tzir is that the neshamos are all under the kisei hakavod, whatever that means. They're not under a chair or whatever. So right, they're somewhere in a spiritual realm called under God's throne. And they enjoy that tremendously. Not they, us. We were all there. And we all, for thousands of years, from the time the world was created until the time came for us to be conceived, we were doing whatever we're doing in Shamayim, in the Olam HaNeshapashos. We don't remember it. Because that's one of the things that a person forgets the second that he's born. That's what the Malach makes him forget. Not only the Torah he learned. He forgets the whole reka of what came before birth. Because if he'd remember it, we'd have no free choice. If we remember where we came from and where we're going to and we know what the spiritual world is, we'd never be able to have free choice in this world. So we forget it all. And I don't know if it's shaykh even for people to have some kind of recollection. It's erased from your... it's not erased from your hard disk. It's only erased from your accessible memory. I don't know what I just said, but in any case. Does that make any sense, Rafi?
From the index.
Index? Okay. So, okay. But you get the idea. In other words, it's still there somewhere, right? It's not completely out of your neshama, remember, it just can't access it. So,
it's on the tape, but you don't have a tape recorder.
Okay.
Was the record?
The so Lamaisa, we forget that, and then what? If you want to have an understanding of what he is talking about, at some point a malach goes over to your neshama, taps it on the shoulder, and says, "Your time has come to go into the physical world." And what you said is not in doing. There is no way, right? You say, see that woman there? What's it called? You are going into her body, into those two cells, and you are going to occupy, as those two cells grow, you're going to occupy that body. And the neshama says, no way in the world that I'm going into anybody's body, right? Not this woman's body, not a body that you're making for me. I'm very happy where I am right now, and that's disgusting. Right? I'm not going there. And the Malach said, we didn't ask you if you want to go there. We're telling you that that's where you're going. And he forces you, the neshama, to get into those two cells, which start to... And then that Malach presents those two cells before the Rabban Shlom, and it's nigzer what the physical makeup of that person is going to be. Going to be handsome, going to be ugly, strong, weak, rich, poor, who's what's it called, going to be his mate. All these things are determined at that first time. So that's a halbitzar, because at least the neshama knows where it is. It still functions as a neshama, because the body is pretty much dormant. The body doesn't eat anything. It's all taken care of by the mother. And it says, while the baby is forming, the neshama is still aware of it being a neshama and aware of the spiritual world. So it can see from one end of the world to the other, right? Beyond what the mother is, that's what an embryo can see. and it's sensitive to all the spiritual things or whatever that are going around, and says that there's like a candle lit at the head of the embryo the entire 9 months. Some women say that's why they have heartburn when they're pregnant, because of that candle. But that's not what it means. What it means is the candle is a symbol of ruchnius. The aura inside the womb is still a spiritual aura. Still, what's it called? The neshama still is aware, hasn't forgotten. That means learns the whole Torah during that time. All of that is part of what the neshama is. That's what's going on the 9 months. As soon as the baby is, so then the malach comes back, what's it called, 9 months later, and says, okay, time is up over here, right? You got to be born. And your neshama, our neshamas, said at the time, nothing doing. Look, you got me this far, right? You made me go into this body, what's it called, but I'm very comfortable over here. I'm not nishkeferlech, okay, I'm not tachas kisei hakavod with all the other neshamas. I'm in this woman's body, right? But, you know, I think I'll just stick out the next 70, 80 years over here. This seems comfortable. I'm still a neshama. I still know what's going on. I don't think I'd like to be born. So I'm sure the mother would not be too happy if you kept 80 years carrying a baby. Some people actually do that, but outside the body. But in any case, the neshama says, I do not want to be born. I opt to stay here for 80 years and then bring me back. And the angel says again, nobody asked you if you want to or you don't. Right? You have to be born. And it says that's why usually when children are born, they don't breathe right away until you patch them, because they don't want to breathe. They don't want to be in this world. Right? And they cry when they're born. Right? Because they have that feeling that this is, things are just now, like, you know, I'm going downhill, right? I started up there nicely. Now this thing, next thing, it can't get worse. And then, what's it called? A person's born. And he didn't want to be born. And then, usually, things happen in this world that sometimes people say, you know, I want out. And you have no choice. You can't opt to go out of the world at your desire. You have to stay and live your life, right, whether you like it or not. And not everybody likes everything that happens in their life. In fact, probably not too many people like everything that happens in their life, or probably nobody likes everything that happens in their life. Okay. And Nenela, what's it called? The Malach, again, on a daily basis, pretty much tells you, you got to get up in the morning, you may not want to go to work, you don't want to go to school, you want to go to this, you want to do that, you don't like this one, that one, or whatever. Tough luck. That's the world, you make the best of it, and that's, okay. And then, surprises of surprises, one day the Malach comes back, and he says, okay, now you're going to get your wish. You never wanted to come here to begin with, and guess what? Time to go home. And surprise of surprises, the neshama says, you know what? I got to like it over here. I don't think I want to go home so fast. Now, how about another few days, few years, few months, or whatever? And the Malach says again, nobody's asking you. That's it. Finished. And you have to go back. So, you leave this world against your will. And then you say, well, look, I went through this whole process. I would opt not to have to give an accounting to the Rabbonu Shel Olam on everything that went by. And the Malach says, definitely, that is not your choice. Now you're forced to give an accounting for everything that happened. So Vilna Gaon asks a very simple question. He says, if everything is against your will, you didn't want to come here, you didn't want to stay here, you didn't want to be born, right? So how could the Rabbanu Shalom hold you responsible for anything? I didn't ask for this. I told you I wanted to stay. Now you're gonna give me a din v'cheshbon on everything I did wrong in the world? I didn't want to come here to begin with. You forced me. If you forced me, then how can you hold me liable for what I didn't want to do? Says the Vilna Gaon, it's answered by a Mishnah in Bava Basra. The mission says like this. Somebody has a field that surrounds somebody else's field. And he builds a fence on the inside of his field. So he has fields over here, right? And Reuven has a field here, and a field here, and a field here. This is Shimon's field. So he's surrounded by three sides. So Reuven puts up a fence between him and Shimon over here, and a fence between him and Shimon over here, and a fence between him and Shimon over here. Okay? Now, Shimon really has no benefit from those three fences because the fourth side's open. Okay? So Reuven says, hey, you know, this fence benefits both of us, so why don't you chip in? And Shimon says, no, I don't really get any good benefit from your fence because my fourth side is open. So you want to put the fence, put the fence, I'm not chipping in anything. If Shimon puts up the fourth side, then we make him pay for all the other three sides part. Why? Because you show that you're happy with those three sides because you put up the fourth side. If you wouldn't have been happy, I don't want to. What do you mean you don't want it? You do want it. If you put up the fourth side, you're making use of the other three. So then we make him pay for everything. Says the Vilna Gaon, true. Al korcha atanotcher. You were forced to put up this fence, right, of being conceived. Al korcha atanolad. You were forced to be born. And al korcha atachai. Three sides are what's it called, are forced. But you know what? You put up the fourth side. Because when the time came to get you out of here, you said, you know what? I think I like it. I think I'll stay. So you show that you are happy with the other three things. Now we're going to make you pay for all four walls. For all the other three, too. What? No, Tzadok doesn't want to leave the world either. Because now once you're here, you realize that there's a benefit of being here, which we're going to learn. What? No, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to live longer. He didn't want to leave this world. Can't get bigger tzaddik than him. And he wanted to stay. Right? He begged the Rabbeinu Shem to let him go into Eretz Yisrael. Why don't you just say Eretz Yisrael and heaven? Right? I'd rather go to heaven than go to Eretz Yisrael. Well, obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu was more in interest in going to Eretz Yisrael than going to heaven. You know, the fact is, if I had a choice, I'd like to stay here longer, right? Because of the mitzvahs, I could do whatever. A tzaddik wants to stay because of the benefits of Olam Hazeh, which we'll get to. But once you have to leave, it's a very traumatic experience for the neshama of somebody who's so tied to Olam Hazeh to leave the world, because basically it's traumatic for his neshama. But somebody who lives in this world, a ruchniyistika thing, the leaving of the world is not that traumatic. He doesn't want to go. But it's two different reasons. He wants to stay because of the benefit he could have. The other one wants to stay because he's tied to this world. And he can't imagine doing anything spiritual. He wants the physical world. So being in the spiritual world is a pain to him. And it takes time until he gets used to such a world. That's called chibut hakev. That's all the yisurim the person goes through in death. It's not physical yisurim. It's yisurim of extricating yourself from a physical world when you're tied into that physical world. That's what it means. We should have
more potential
than
the generation before us.
Ah. I don't know if the neshama benefits more or doesn't grow anything just by being tachas kisei hakavod. You only grow when you come into this world.
In a sense, it'll serve for the reasoning, because the whole reason why one doesn't want to leave this world is, of course, the opportunity to gain olam haba. But that's because everything that a person does in this world is not yet perfect. But the only reason why he wants that is because we are culpable for what we do in this world. So how do you say that? Oh, but the reason why we're culpable is because we want to leave. Like, one's telling the other.
No, if a person doesn't want to leave this world, he shows that he's happy with what the Rav Shem did for him, whatever the reason is.
Because he's culpable for what he does, so therefore he needs more time to do things.
Whatever. But Lamaisa, what's it called? That's not true. People don't want to leave this world because they don't want to leave the world. Right? Not only because they want to fix up more things or whatever. They got used to this world. They're happy with the fact that the Rav Shem sent them here because this world is a place where you can benefit. Either you're benefiting physically or they're on a higher level and they understand they're benefiting spiritually. But you're happy with the benefit you're getting here. That's
right. Maybe it is. And the Gemara says, the Yochanan Zakkai didn't want to leave this world because he doesn't know where he's going.
That's not the reason he didn't want to leave the world. That's why he was crying. That's not why he didn't want to leave the world. Didn't say that. Didn't say that at all. Didn't say he didn't want to leave the world. He said, they asked him why he's crying. He wasn't crying because he didn't want to leave the world. He was crying because what he was afraid of was going to be afterwards. That's all. Yeah.
He doesn't want to leave the world.
But he wants to leave.
He does want
to
leave. What?
He
wants to leave.
What did the Vilnagon say?
Yeah,
Vilnagon was crying.
No, if somebody if somebody wants to leave, how would the Vilnagon have to?
Oh,
have no
Vilnagon himself didn't want to leave.
No,
if somebody does
want to
leave.
Is somebody who commits suicide?
No.
Or
doesn't have to commit suicide.
Or his wife.
But he would have.
He's had enough.
He's had enough. So then he doesn't have to have dead.
There's plenty of people, I think.
Is it about the person?
Well, we said that somebody commits suicide that he doesn't have any alhamas.
It's about
the person himself.
Somebody who says, you know what, I'm happy to leave. You don't know if anybody ever says that. You know that people say that before the time comes for them to leave. But when the actual malach comes, you don't know what people say. Even people have Yisurei Iyuv.
Because they're scared.
Because they're scared? I don't know. Again, I really don't want to find out. I have plenty of patience. Okay, I can't really answer you since I don't have any experience. And the people who do have experience can't answer you either.
I never understood that marshal anyways, the Mishnah that is.
Yeah, why?
Because it's fine. You know, you put three fences around, so, okay, so I put the fourth one there, because there are three of them there already. And if I had my druthers, I wouldn't have any fences around my area. But once you put three of them there, so I may as well make some use of the fact.
Right.
But I would never put up four fences around me.
Fine. So same thing over here. Same thing over here. If I had my druthers, I would rather not be here b'chlal. Noach lo adam shel nivra. But once the Rebbeinu Shem put up the three fences against me, you know, and I got used to it.
That's the minchel. I'm talking about the marshal.
Yeah.
I never understood the marshal.
Why?
Because
same thing.
No.
In Echanami, the fences were put up against your will. I'm not required. But once they're there, I might as well make use of it. So if you might as well make use of it, then pay for the other three,
that's
too.
That's only because the three fences are there, but otherwise, I mean,
exactly.
Haraya, I never put up fences.
Right, exactly.
I didn't want fences.
Exactly. So, but you can't say that you're not happy with it. You can't say that you're not happy with it.
Yeah,
because if you didn't want it at all, why'd you put up the fourth one? Now you see that there's a benefit to you.
No, because once there are three fences there, then I have a reason to already finish it. But otherwise...
They're fine. So that's after the fact. Nobody said that you would have put up the three fences if the other person didn't put it up. And that's why if you don't put up the fourth fence, why should I pay for it? I don't want it. But once you put up the fourth fence, that means that, okay, I wouldn't have done it to begin with. But now that it's there, hey, I'll get some enjoyment out of it. So you're getting enjoyment out of it, pay for it. Same thing over here. I wouldn't have come into this world if I had a choice. I didn't want to be conceived, born, or live. None of those things. But now that I was forced to do it, I kind of, what's it called, get some enjoyment for it. I'm here already, I might as well enjoy it. And I do enjoy it, I don't want to leave. So you see that I'm willing to take advantage of what I was forced to do. It's not totally against my will, because now it became my will. At least minimally. So that, and even the minimal, now is megalgulin of a sakol. That's the marshal and nimshal. Okay, in Cain, Vaday Shalohoya Mevi Osakarish Baruch Ba'olam Shimuesis Bo. Why in the world would God make such a exalted neshama and then force it to be in a world that it doesn't like? The whole purpose is that man should enjoy the world. Why give him a neshama that doesn't enjoy the world? If the whole purpose is this world, what do you need that neshama for? Not only what do you need it for, it's like counterproductive. You're giving him something that deters him from really enjoying this world. Okay, now you negated that philosophy of people who believe in the Torah, believe in God, but still could possibly think that the purpose is for the sake of Olam Hazeh. Now, tell me what your philosophy is, what is the right philosophy, and bring me proof to it, and now we're going to go back to the regular Masilas Yesharim next time and see what he says over there, and we'll compare it to some of the details that he doesn't say over here and here, but we'll use the regular Masilas Yesharim as the base, and only this as Ha'oras or whatever, so we'll go back to using the text itself, Mirza Hashem, when I come back from Chutz La'aretz, Mirza Hashem.